From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series of studies of the Book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called A Roadmap to Romans. The theme of Romans is the righteousness of God, what it is, why we need it, and how it may be obtained. This gives the key to studying the book. In commencing the message, Dr. Cairns read from Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 21, a passage which sets out man's dilemma. Because of Adam's sin, all men are born sinners and face the condemnation of God. But God in His mercy sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to suffer and die in the place of guilty sinners. Christ is the second Adam. All who are in Christ receive forgiveness of sins and inherit eternal life. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is called Word to Him Who Halts. The text is found in Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 19. I will save her that halteth. There are plenty of these lame ones, both male and female. You may meet her that halteth 20 times in an hour. They are in the right road, and exceedingly anxious to run in it with diligence. But they are lame, and make a sorry walk of it. On the heavenly road there are many cripples. It may be that they say in their hearts, What will become of us? Sin will overtake us. Satan will throw us down. Ready to halt is our name and our nature. The Lord can never make good soldiers of us, nor even nimble messengers to go on His errands. Well, well, He will save us, and that is no small thing. He says, I will save her that halteth. In saving us, He will greatly glorify Himself. Everybody will ask, How came this lame woman to run the race and win the crown? And then the praise will all be given to Almighty grace. Lord, though I halt in faith, in prayer, in praise, in service, and in patience, save me, I beseech Thee. Only Thou can save such a cripple as I am. Lord, let me not perish because I am among the hindmost, but gather up by Thy grace the slowest of Thy pilgrims, even me. Behold, He hath said it shall be so, and therefore, like Jacob, prevailing in prayer, I go forward, though my sinew be shrunk.
Danger in that bright land.
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
If ever a preacher wants to prove the limitations both of his knowledge and his skill at imparting whatever knowledge he has, let him just come to the book of Romans. And here I have to confess, and greater preachers than I have had to confess the same thing, that you feel that you are sinking in a mighty ocean of divine truth and revelation, and you're just overwhelmed with the vastness and the greatness of it all. And that means that there is the temptation always to take a very simple, find a simple key and follow it through. And sometimes that is not a bad thing to do. Such a scheme has been produced and has been used by many, many preachers. But I have not adopted it. It's a simple one. Chapters 1 to 3 deal with condemnation. Chapters 4 and 5 deal with justification. Chapter 6 and 7 deal with sanctification. Chapter 8 deals with assurance and glorification, or as some may say, the chapter of the Spirit. Chapters 9 to 11 deal with the problem of Israel and its place in the end times. And then chapters 12 to 16 are the practical application. That's a very simple way to divide the book. And I have to confess, it has its attractions just because it's so watertight. But it has its problems as well. These themes are in these passages, by the way, and we will deal with condemnation and justification and sanctification and assurance and adoption and glorification and the work of the Spirit and what the Scriptures say about Israel. And then all the practical applications, they're all here. But the difficulty with this scheme is that each of these things tends to become a little island in itself. And I have books in my library where the teacher deals with condemnation, and then he deals with justification, and then he deals with sanctification, and it's at that point where real heresy can come in. This is where the scheme becomes very, very important. For example, as I've said, chapters 4 and 5 are justification. Chapters 6 and 7 are sanctification. But more rubbish, and I have no apology for using the term. It's actually quite a gentle term, given the sort of stuff I'm combating. But more rubbish, more dangerous delusion, more that has haunted the people of God and has robbed them of the victory of the Holy Ghost in their lives, has been preached and written from Romans chapter 6, and the Christian being dead to sin. Because the preacher has said chapter 6 is sanctification. And he has failed to realize that Paul at the beginning of chapter 6 is continuing the great discussion of justification in union with Christ. And unless you understand how he is changing gears, as it were, and how he brings you with justification as the basis to consider sanctification, you will end up giving his words a meaning he never intended. You will start chasing a pipe dream of a sanctification that does not exist. And you will fail to achieve the victory that does exist. So the scheme is not dry bones. It's very, very important. Also, when you think of assurance, many people are turned to Romans chapter 8 for assurance, and well, may they be. It's a wonderful passage. But if you do not understand that Romans chapter 8 grows directly out of what Paul teaches in the latter part of chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, if you don't understand that the assurance of chapter 8 is the direct fruit of what he has just set down there, if you don't bother with the doctrinal and theological basis, then all that he's saying about assurance will be surface stuff to you, and it will not produce the righteous fruit in your life that you want it to produce. Similarly with the so-called problem of Israel. When I used to read these outlines of Romans, I have to confess, always it made me wonder, why in the middle of condemnation, justification, sanctification, glorification. Why in the middle of it all do we have the problem of Israel? Why would it be there? Well, when you understand the scheme of the book, you'll find there's a very, very real and good reason for it being there. And again, if you're going to understand what he says about Israel, and in that connection, what he says about predestination, what he says about election, what he says about the purpose of God, what he says about eschatology. If you want to understand that properly, you've got to remember how it grows out of what he says about justification, the purpose of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Similarly with the practical applications. How often you've heard messages in Romans 12 and 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's a wonderful exhortation. Do not be conformed to the world. You ever tried preaching that message to young people? I have been pondering a message to young people. It's called The Curse of Being Cool. I've been pondering that, mind you. Of course, it's not only young people need it. The curse of being cool. Conformity to the world. Don't want to blow my cover and tell you all what it's about before I get there. But I must tell you this, it really galls me when you've got Christians, men and women, and what they wouldn't do out of conviction to glorify God. For instance, put a hat on their heads when they come to church. That's the women, not the men. They would do with joy if some half-damned, maybe I should say almost wholly damned, maker of fashion decreed that it was cool to do so. Ah, they would do it then, all right. God help the church when the sodomites and the lesbians and the perverts of the fashion world have more influence on professing Christians than the very Word of God. But I'd better not get started in that. That's not the sermon for tonight. But I thought I'd throw it in anyway. The curse of being cool. Have you ever tried to preach to young people, do not be conformed to the world? That's just because you're old-fashioned. You're out of date. You were like us in your day, only they did things differently. They wore things differently. Well, sure, they wore things differently. In my day, believe it or not, when you put a pair of trousers on, you wanted to keep the waist at your waist, and not like a fellow we saw in the mall the other night, where the belt line actually reached halfway between his buttocks and his knees. And I want to tell you, I don't care what fashion mogul says, what, that has nothing to commend it. So you've tried to tell them, don't be conformed to this world. I want to tell you something. When you get up and you blast on personal separation, and Christians ought to give up this and they ought to turn from that and they ought to do the other thing, and then you make an appeal, you will, if you're a very good storyteller and a good communicator, you will get a response in some quarters, and it will be as shallow and short-lived in most cases as it can be. But oh, you take the mercies of God. Paul didn't say, don't be conformed with the world. He says, brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God. What are the mercies of God? The mercies of God, that's a term to cover the vast array of spiritual truth that Paul has been expounding. It is his way of summing up the mercy and the grace that has led to the justification of the ungodly by faith in Jesus Christ, their union with Christ, their acceptance in Christ, their position by grace. And he's saying, see Christ. See what it is to be justified. See what it is to be accepted. Understand what it is to be clothed in the righteous garment garments of Christ's perfection. And when you see yourself in Christ. Now here are some practical results in your life. Here are the ways in which that position will be seen. And I want to tell you, when a man sees himself dressed in the garb of Jesus Christ, you will not need big arguments to prove that he doesn't dress to look like a sodomite. You don't need big arguments to prove that he shouldn't be following the rock crazes of the world. You just let him see Christ. And I guarantee when we see Jesus, that will be more potent to direct us in the way of holiness than anything else. You see, the practical application here is the outworking of the gospel. That's a reason why I haven't adopted what most commentators give for most New Testament epistles, and that is first section doctrinal, this book chapters 1 to 11, second section practical, chapters 12 to 16. I must say, I really detest that way of breaking up the book. It rubs me up the wrong way. And you might have already got the impression you get me up the wrong way, rubbed the wrong way, I would maybe get excited. But anyway, it gives you the impression. Doctrinal, 1 to 11. Practical, 12 to 16. What is that saying? It's saying, well, doctrine isn't really very practical. But what is this doctrine? This doctrine is the gospel. Are we really saying the gospel isn't very practical? It certainly is most practical. It's the most practical thing in the world. And any practice that is not based on a direct faith in the gospel will be one of two things. It will be either legalistic bondage or it will be bitter defeat. There are people, I have no doubt, even here tonight, and you are sincerely doing your best not to do this, not to do that, not to do the other thing, and then to do this, and to do this, and to do this. And you're getting yourself all bound up in so many ways. I do not fault you for wanting to give up this and give up that and start the other. But have you not found what a bondage it is? The only liberty that you have to do and not to do is the liberty that comes from seeing your justification. The gospel in this passage is most certainly practical. Most people, of course, when they try to do without doing it by faith in the gospel, end up in defeat. And they just throw up their hands. I think it was Brad Carper said to me many years ago when he first came to the church over in Sharon Drive that he had given up on even going to church. Not to be able to play golf on Sunday or anything, but there's got to be more to Christianity than I can find. There's got to be something more. What is it? It is living by the faith of the gospel.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.